This isn't a dirge. This is actually got lively elements to it, and it's a living form. And so I think people are going to find themselves not disappointed or depressed by it, which one would easily think, you know, Kristallnacht, a hard subject. But I think it actually has an uplifting element, and I suspect the audience is going to walk out feeling stronger, knowing more, understanding more. And that's really what we all want our performances to accomplish, because it really is about a human experience. It really is about conflict and adversity. And I think you're going to find some distinct tones that are that cross boundaries.
I mean, as someone whose work is to promote Holocaust awareness and to foster efforts at Holocaust education, it's really great to see people from other disciplines coming together to do just that. But I have to say that I'm not really surprised, because for the last several years, the Center for Holocaust and Genocide Education has had tremendous cooperation from the symphony. Faculty from the School of Music, from Cedar Valley Chamber Music, have performed at our annual Holocaust Remembrance Ceremony. So it's really the continuation of a very, very powerful contribution to this whole effort. And I think this is going to be a very, very special event. To a large extent, it's who we are. And that's why I think the event is going to be the kind of event that it will be.
It has been a really incredibly rewarding thing to be involved with. This is something I think is really worth thinking about in the contemporary world. But, you know, at times, if you just get on stage and you kind of lecture to people, the message can seem like it's not, you know, it doesn't affect me, or it doesn't move me, or that's just someone talking. Or I read about this in a book or a magazine, but it just doesn't have a direct impact. And so that idea of using art as a means for exploring the issues that have come out of this event, and that gives us an opportunity to reach people in a different way, and maybe also to impact people in a different way. And I think that's one of the things that makes this so rewarding for me. And of course, it's such a pleasure to collaborate with this entire group of people. And that in itself is one of the perks of the job.
Dr. Steve Kerrignan, UNI's Associate Dean of Special Programs, and the Gallagher Blue Dorn Performing Arts Center's Executive Director. Dr. Stephen Gaze, UNI's Professor of Language and Literature and Director of the UNI Center for Holocaust and Genocide Education. And Jason Weinberger, CEO and Music Director of the WCF Symphony. You're listening to the Iowa Art Showcase on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Jacqueline Hallbloom. Steve, Stephen, and Jason join forces with a whole host of community leaders in the Cedar Valley to collaborate on a special program using the arts to commemorate the 75th anniversary of Kristallnacht. Stephen Gaze continues.
Kristallnacht, or the Night of Broken Glass, was a watershed event in what we now call the Holocaust, because it involved the first large-scale, organized, state-sponsored violence against one of the groups that Nazi Germany was persecuting, namely the Jews of Germany and Austria and parts of Czechoslovakia. So after 5.5 years of laws and propaganda, harassment, intimidation, appeals to ordinary German self-interest as ways of isolating German Jews from mainstream society and encouraging them to emigrate, the stakes were raised by bringing violence in the form of arson, plunder, looting, large-scale arrests. This was the first time that Jews were sent to concentration camps, which had been built for political prisoners. And I would say that this concert, like the event that it commemorates, is really a call to action, an appeal to the world's conscience, because this was an event not just about the people who were targeted by Nazi Germany, but about all of us. Because so much of Kristallnacht is the story of what the world did and didn't do in the months leading up to Kristallnacht, and what happened in the wake of this pogrom. And many of the issues that were in play in 1938 and 1939 are the issues that we wrestle with today whenever there's a humanitarian crisis someplace in the world.
And Jason, now you are going to help craft and approach this whole topic from the artistic side. Tell us about how this is all going to come together.
This particular event in specific is sort of special for me in the sense that all of my grandparents are Holocaust survivors. And this is a story that I grew up with and has very much informed my own life and my own artistic career. So to be able to have an opportunity to participate in the presentation of an event like this is not only artistically, you know, important and feels very momentous to me, but personally, there's also quite a large element to this. We've all been brought in, and yet at the same time, we do all have different experiences. And I think in a way, our team that has worked on the event is a wonderful model for what really happens when we present the event to the public, when people come to it from many different perspectives and try and share in some of the ideas and the emotions and thoughts that have emerged from it. So really quite a singular experience to be involved in this project. And I'm thrilled to, you know, be on stage performing. I think some of the works we've chosen are really amazing, but also have been very gratified to be part of the team planning and preparing this event.
Steve Kerrigan talks about working together on this project.
And that's why it needed so much collaboration, is because there are multiple stories and multiple perspectives. Sometimes a first-person perspective as a story is told by a UNI theater student who's developed a piece, a spoken word piece from that original source material. Sometimes it's a child's perspective, and I think that's one of the exciting things about Paula's piece. It was sort of a meditation, again, a piece that was written from a very distinct perspective, looking at the experience of children who went through that Holocaust experience, went through the Kristallnacht experience. And so you really get to look at it from a lot of different perspectives. And I think that's really important. You know, when you have a complicated issue, genocide is not a simple thing. When you have a complicated issue, you need multiple perspectives because it's an inherently irrational act. And yet it is something that human beings have done and are doing. And so to understand that, you need to understand those complexities. And I think the multiple entry points and frankly, the multiple levels of experience for the people participating, be it a singer in our children's choir from the Cedar Valley Children's Choir, a singer from Wartburg, a singer from the Met Chorale. I mean, they're going to bring different flavors and tastes and understandings to this. And we hope that's the experience of the audience, too. Everyone has a different level of background knowledge to the Holocaust in general, but Kristallnacht in particular. And as they bring those perspectives together, we sort of find some sort of shared truth in it. But it takes all those perspectives in order to reach people. This is not something that you and I want to sit around over a cup of coffee and chat about. It's difficult thinking. It's difficult to accept as a human being. And those multiple perspectives that shared, again, the wonderful metaphor of music, which has that ability to bypass the rational and speak directly to the heart, that's a great format for dealing with these complex things.
Stephen Gaze talks about the role of the four UNI theater students.
There are hundreds of eyewitness accounts because obviously this event touched hundreds of thousands of people. And from immediately after Kristallnacht right up to the present, people who lived through that night have told their stories. We wanted to find stories of Kristallnacht survivors who have settled in the Midwest. We thought that would make a closer connection between these events that took place in Europe decades and decades ago. And so we've chosen four eyewitness accounts from people who were as young as five up to adolescence. And students in the UNI Department of Theater are going to convert those accounts into dramatic portrayals so that they'll be speaking as if they're talking about an event that has recently happened or that happened only a few years ago rather than back in their childhood. And I think it's going to be very, very powerful. I think that the words, because they tell personal stories, are going to complement the power of music, and I think they're going to add a great deal to the afternoon.
Let's talk about some things that will be happening on this concert and what's going to be performed and who's performing it.
Well, I'll mention quickly that the symphony is involved. There's just no way we could mount a program like this by ourselves. And I think in a way that would sort of be against the purpose of the whole idea of this event, to do something like this by yourself. This program, I think, in a lot of ways called for a community approach. And so for us, this is, you know, not the first collaboration we've done or the only one, but it's one of the bigger, more meaningful collaborations. And so the orchestra will be featured sort of in one of the central pieces, a work by Shostakovich, the Chamber Symphony, which is actually an arrangement of his 8th string quartet. And this is Shostakovich's very personal response to the events of the Holocaust, and is one of the ways in which we see a composer responding from a particular distance to these events. So Shostakovich had the opportunity to actually go to some of these camps and reflect on his own experience as not really a political prisoner, but in a way, very much a political prisoner of the mind, and in actuality, probably a bit too, with his experience with Stalin. And so to see an individual like that, very close to the source of all this, but not having gone through it himself, instead reflecting on it, that's one perspective. And we have other perspectives that come out on the program as well.
Jason continues talking about works to be performed and musicians performing in their Kristallnacht program.
There's a whole host of wonderful musicians involved in this. First and foremost among them is Hunter Cappuccioni. What folks may not know about Hunter, aside from the fact that he's a director and founder of Cedar Valley Chamber Music and a great bass player, is that he's also done some very interesting work connected with the Holocaust. Even though it's not really an intrinsic part of his personal story, artistically it's something that he's been involved with over the years. So Hunter is actually going to perform a solo piece, which he found and has performed before in settings that deal with this kind of subject matter. And also because of that connection, we're going to involve a few Cedar Valley Chamber Music musicians to play alongside musicians from the symphony. And I'll also kind of do a couple different things on this program, and one of them will be to play clarinet. We're going to do a work together called The Overture on Hebrew Themes by Sergei Prokofiev, which is a really interesting work and is an interesting piece to consider. Where was Prokofiev coming from, and what does this piece signify? But if you step back from it as well, it's a really kind of haunting piece. It's almost like looking at a picture of the before, you know, this all these events. It's like an old snapshot of what it used to be like. And so it provides an interesting bit of nostalgia and a sort of sets a little bit of context for some of the works that surround it. So with those other folks involved, I think the center of the program has some really interesting moments and very interesting progression. And those are just the instrumentalists involved. The Met Chorale is involved. We also have quite an extensive Cedar Valley Children's Choir, with kids from Waterloo as well as from Waverly. So kids from the Wartburg choirs under Lee Nelson are going to join us as well, and a couple guest artists. So it's a pretty enormous range of musicians who are going to be part of this. But I think that's all the more to the point of what we're doing, and I think it will really enhance the effect of the performance.
And this Paulus piece was specifically written to bring a lot of different things forward.
Yeah, this work was actually created up in the Twin Cities as an interfaith partnership. Two religious leaders, one Jewish and one Catholic, I believe, got together and sort of conceived this commission. And Stephen Paulus, who's also based in the Twin Cities, he was commissioned to write this work. So again, even in the genesis of the sort of central bookend work on the program, there's this idea that this theme ought to be something that we approach with a little more universality and a little wider point of view rather than a very narrow point of view. And I think that's been so important to us from the beginning of the project. The other thing I should say about that work is that Lee Nelson, who directs the Metropolitan Chorale as well as the choirs up at Wartburg, he has been quite instrumental in the life of this piece. It was premiered by the Minnesota Orchestra. But subsequently, I think really most of the performances that have occurred have been directed by Lee Nelson. He's done it several different times, and he's also taken some excerpts from this piece on college choir tours. So Lee is, in a way, the perfect person also to have involved in this artistic group because of his familiarity with his work and because of his tremendous advocacy for this piece, not just around here in Iowa, but you know, taking it on tour around the world. So it kind of have a dream team, I guess, in that sense when we look at the artists who are involved.
Jason Weinberger, along with UNI's Stephen Gaze and UNI's Steve Carignan. The Kristallnacht, Night of Broken Glass program will be held at UNI's Gallagher Blue Dorn Performing Arts Center on Sunday, November 10th at 3 p.m. Some of the over 300 musicians include the Metropolitan Chorale, the Wartburg Choir, the Cedar Valley Honor Chorus, Brian Falsgraf, the Cedar Valley Chamber Music Ensemble, Hunter Cappuccioni, Lee Nelson, Jason Weinberger, and members of the WCF Symphony.